I like the Christmas music we've heard today. That is beautiful. Not just beautiful, but it reminds us about our Lord, and that makes it all the more beautiful. I like decorations. I like all this stuff. But I really, really enjoy coming and hearing the Word of God preached. I like hearing the songs about our Savior. And this morning, I am going to preach about Christmas. You say, well, isn't it a bit early? I mean, we got 3 weeks from now till Christmas. You're rushing into things. No, I don't think it's early at all. In fact, I think if we have the right focus on what Christmas is all about, I think we'll use the Christmas season more wisely. And that's what I'd like to do, is hopefully challenge us that way. We're going to begin here in Matthew chapter number 2, beginning in verse 1. We'll read a few verses here, and then we'll pray. The Bible says, "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Israel, all Jerusalem with him. He was troubled because he thought Jesus was a threat to him. Then it's in verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.'" Now, he had no intentions of worshiping him. He wanted to kill him. Verse 9, When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come in to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the true account of your coming. I pray that this morning you'd help me do justice to your word and who you are and what you want to accomplish. And not only that, but how we should treat this season. And I pray that we wouldn't get sidetracked by the world and all the wrong emphasis out there. Lord, so often the world squeezes Christ right out of Christmas. I pray that we wouldn't be guilty of that. I pray we'll just take a few moments this morning and think about you, thinking about how we're going to use these next few weeks to honor and glorify you. We ask that you, again, use us in a special way. And we pray it for Christ's glory, and we pray it in his name. Amen. If someone came to visit our country, and maybe they've never heard about Christmas before, what would they think the season was all about? You ever think about that? They'd see a bunch of decorations. They'd see people eating a lot of food. They'd hear all sorts of music. In fact, the music you're going to hear in the stores while you're out shopping is not the music you hear here. It's totally different. It's not Christ-honoring in many cases. I think if they drew some conclusions based on what they observed, I think that they would see that Christmas was not really about Christ. It was about a few other things. And I think we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in some of those other things also. And if we're not going to hear it from the pulpit, then I don't know where else you're going to hear it from. And I just want to consider a few of these things. We'll get to the message. If you're looking for a title, it's "Tis the Season." And no, it's not to be jolly necessarily here. 'Tis the season. You would think if this visitor came and looked at our nation and looked at all the emphasis that we as a nation place on Christmas, I'd think that they would say that is a season of pleasure, right? Christmas has been reduced in many times to us fulfilling all the lusts of the flesh and pleasing ourselves. It often includes feasting, or could we say indulging? Well, I can eat, 15,000 calories a day. Why? Because it's Jesus' birthday. That makes sense, doesn't it? But that's what we do. It's all about Christ, right? And all the food that we eat. And I love eating. I love the treats. But I'm just saying, hey, we better be careful that we don't get caught up with all the wrong emphasis of what Christmas is about. As we served in Zambia as missionaries, a few times people would come up to me and say, give me Christmas. I'd say, give me Christmas. First, I was like, what on earth? Give me Christmas? Yeah, come to church. I'll preach to you. You'll learn about Christmas. That was my response many times. I finally figured out what they were meaning. Give me Christmas. What they were meaning is, give me a chicken or something like that because I want a special Christmas meal. That's what Christmas was to them. It wasn't, in most cases, about... There are people who give gifts, but in most cases, it wasn't about a bunch of people running out to stores and buying a bunch of gifts and giving it to everybody and wrapping up and putting it in a tree. You'd be hard-pressed to find a lot of Christmas trees around. What it was just... Christmas had been reduced to a meal by many people. Give me Christmas. Like Christmas was all wrapped up in what I ate. I think we get caught up in that too, don't we? Christmas has become an excuse to have a party. Thousands of Christmas parties will be celebrated in our nation. And most of those will be celebrated with absolutely no thought or reference to Jesus. There'll be a lot of talk about Santa Claus and Rudolph and all those other things, but it'll be very little about Jesus. It'll all be about having a good time. Next to New Year's, Christmas is the most popular drinking day in our country. Did you get that? Next to New Year's, Christmas is the most popular drinking day. Hey, let's celebrate Jesus, God, who came from heaven, and let's just get blasted. Let's just get totally stone drunk. And we're celebrating Christmas. How blasphemous, how shameful that our nation has so degraded. But that's what it is. Proverbs 20, verse 1, by the way, says, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If someone's not wise, what are they? A fool. And so God pretty clearly says, hey, if you want to go out drinking, you're a fool. And how much more of a fool is someone when they want to celebrate Christmas that way? But I think this visitor to our country, looking around, they'd say, Christmas, it's a season for pleasure. I think they'd also say, it's the season for purchasing. It's all about getting a good deal. Christmas has been so commercialized, I think we get sick of it too, right? I mean, the day after Halloween in some stores, what are they setting up? All the Christmas merchandise. I mean, we haven't even had Thanksgiving. Of course, then there's Black Friday, there's Cyber Monday, and that doesn't have much to do with our Lord. A recent survey shows that 16% of Generation Xers haven't paid off the credit card debt from last year. 24% of Millennials haven't paid off their credit card debt from last year. And you know what they're going to do this year? Get some more credit card debt because they got to pay for the presents that they got to buy. Another survey showed that in 2015, the average holiday debt in America was $986. And then that jumped last year in 2016 to $1,003. We don't have this year's figures yet. But going into debt, what a way to celebrate Christ's birth, huh? The Bible has a little bit to say about debt too, doesn't it? actually has a lot to say about how we handle our money. Christmas has led to covetousness, right? We tell everybody, hey, make a list and tell me what you want, what you want, what you want, what you want, what you want. And then it becomes all about what I get for Christmas. And the Bible still says it's more blessed to do what? Give than to receive. And we've forgotten the exhortation in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. We don't like that because I want more, don't you? And this is the time I can get more. I can hit up all the people that love me and tell me what I want so I can get more from them. And if they don't give it to me, and if I don't think they're going to give it to me, hey, I'll just go shopping online and I'll be hitting the stores on Black Friday and I'm going to be getting all the stuff that I want because it's all about me anyway. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's why we shouldn't be covetous. He says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So, this visitor coming to America, looking around saying, yeah, Christmas, man, it's about pleasure. it's about purchasing. You know what else they'd see? They'd see a lot of unhappy people at Christmas time. And they'd say, for such a supposedly happy time, there sure is a lot of pouting going on. And a lot of people battle depression during the holiday season. There's a whole lot of reasons. They get stressed out over shopping. They get stressed out over overspending. Then they get guilty because they can't buy the things for others that they wanted to buy. Then they have to go visit relatives they really don't want to go and see. Some are lonely because they've lost a loved one. But you know, we don't have to be lonely because, as we know, as far as Jesus is concerned, one of his names is Emmanuel. Means God with us. And Christmas is a great time to remember, not just, okay, yeah, I'm missing someone that used to be with us, but hey, let's focus on who we have with us, amen? Let us focus that we still have the Lord. And that's all we need, isn't it? Don't forget the message that the angel gave to the shepherds. They said in Luke 2, 10 and 11, fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We've got a Savior. That's some good news. He came to save his people from their sin. We don't have to die and go to hell. We don't have to be enslaved to sin. We can have victory over sin. Praise the Lord. It ought to be a happy time. It ought to be a happy occasion. And if we have joy, we can spread that to some of those people who don't. You ever go through, you're out shopping and you see some guy, he's sitting on the bench. You know his wife's in there shopping. And he's just sitting on the entry. He's not even going in. He's just sitting on the bench waiting for his wife. I mean, he's got bags weighed down. You could just see he's like sunken over, man. He's like, are we almost done yet? Real happy, right? Oh, shop. Man, Christmas. Man, how's Christmas going? It's going fine, but man, I still got to buy for these like 15 people, and I don't know what to get them. Oh, man, it's a great time. Yeah, it's great, isn't it? We've kind of already looked now, and we've seen what Christmas is not about. So, what is the season about? 'Tis the season. What? I'll give you three points. First one is this. It's the season to worship. I want to challenge us to make sure we use this season how God would have us use it. I think the first thing is that we ought to recognize it as a season to worship our Lord. Look in chapter 2 here in Matthew. And by the way, we're going to be turning back and forth. I'm going to be all over the place, but if you want to know where to be, you can hit Matthew 2, and you can also look and put your finger in Luke chapter 2, because I'll be in Luke chapter 2 also. Time or two, I might bounce into Matthew 1 and Luke 2, but they're right next to each other. We'll be good for that. And all the other ones, if you want, you can just jot them down or let me read them to you. We'll be all right with that. But we're going to be in Matthew and Luke. It's the season to worship. The familiar Christmas carol, Angels from the Realms of Glory, speaks of worshiping Jesus. It says, sages, leave your contemplations. You say, what on earth is a sage? It's a wise man. Okay, so the wise men, and this is brighter visions beam afar. So he said, you wise men, you're busy doing something. There's something even far better off in the distance. You better go find him. And it says, seek the great desire of nations. Ye have seen his natal. That means his referring to birth, his natal star. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn king. Now, where do we get these songs? Oh, so many of these songs are based straight out of Scripture. We're here in Matthew chapter number 2. Look at that in verse number 2. Here are the wise men. They come to Jerusalem and it says, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to do what? To worship him. That is one of the reasons we ought to celebrate Christmas. And that's how we ought to celebrate Christmas. And it is by worshiping him. Drop down there to verse number 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and did what? And worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Really, in this passage that we read in the beginning, there's three groups of people here. There is the religious people that they were kind of, you know, heartless. They could care less that the Messiah. They knew right where the Scripture said he would be born, but they weren't looking for him. When they were approached, hey, where's Christ going to be born? Where's the Messiah going to be? Oh, yeah, well, the Bible says here, and it's right there, and he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Well, how come they didn't go down and visit? Because they had no heart for the Lord. We also saw a pretty evil ruler. That was Herod. We see this other group here, the hateful. He wanted to exterminate Jesus. He wanted to kill him. He was a threat. And then we see the humble. And those were the wise men who submitted themselves to the king. Can you imagine? The Bible says that they fell down and worshiped him. Can you imagine bowing down to an infant? The wise men did. Now that infant happened to be Almighty God in human flesh. How much reverence and respect do you give the Lord? Now think about it. Now, around Christmas time, there's so much frivolous activity. And I'm all for having fun. I'm all for celebrating. And I like being festive and all that. But a lot of it dishonors our Lord. You know, think about songs like Jingle Bell Rock. And Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. How much does that glorify the Lord? It's a distraction. Okay? It's a distraction. The first Christmas brought true worship. And I want you to see that this worship, what it involved, giving to the Lord. There in verse 11, let's read that again. It says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And how did they worship him? It says, and when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. I think worship, we can see the three things that they gave. First one is they gave their treasure. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. Now, one of those treasures was gold. Now, gold's pretty valuable in our day. Guess what? It's pretty valuable back in their day, too. And it's a good question we ought to ask is, what are we going to give to Jesus this year on his birthday? He got everything. Can't we honor the Lord? How did they celebrate the first Christmas? How did the wise men celebrate? They opened their treasures and they gave him gifts. I think if you want to be a biblical believer at Christmas time, I think part of that is giving the Lord a gift. That's what I see in here. We spend so much on others, and then, oh yeah, there's a Christmas offering. Well, I can give a couple bucks for that. But man, we're going to be shelling it out for everybody else. We'll be going into debt for them. And it's like, Christmas offering? Man, I'm a little bit tight right now. I can't go into debt for God. Well, we can go into debt for everything else. And I don't think we should go into debt for God. But part of worshiping is opening our treasures and giving him something. So it wasn't just their treasure, though. You know what else they gave? They gave their time. These guys were busy men. They were the wise men. They were leaders. These guys were important people, and they traveled from the east. We're not exactly told here what country they came from, but it was certainly a notable kingdom. They could have traveled for weeks and months. There's been a lot of speculation about that. But they could have been on the road for a long time. They gave up a lot of their time to serve the Lord. And I think it's probably not a bad thing if we take a little bit of extra time and do a little bit more for the Lord during this time. You know, people are a little bit more open to the gospel, aren't they? Let's get busy and do a little bit more for the Lord. And they set aside their business, their duties, and I think we need to set aside some of the hustle and bustle of the season, make sure we take some time and serve Him. But they also used their talent. They worshiped Him. How? It's a season of worship. They gave their treasure. They gave their time. They gave their talent. You know, they were wise men. And so they used their wisdom. And they went out and found Jesus. You know? And we ought to use our talents to serve the Lord. We should use whatever we've been given. Now, look in verse number 10. We're still in chapter 2. Look at verse number 10. Notice what the wise men had because of their desire to worship. When they had saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding what? Great joy. Man, we talked about some people get depressed and discouraged during the holiday season. You know one cure for that? Worship! Worship! Give! Give of your substance, give of your time, give of your talent. Give to the Lord. Worship Him. Praise Him. Lift up His name. Tell other people about Him. And I'll tell you, that's what's going to bring us joy. Not the gift that's going to break 2 weeks after we get it. Give. Worship. It's a season to worship. Then we see it's also a season to witness. Now you can go with me to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. Of course, here we see the announcement made by the angels to the shepherds. Here in verse number 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I guess I'd be afraid if I saw a bunch of angels up there, or, you know, big powerful angel. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now that would be a strange place to find a baby. So that would certainly be a sign. And that obviously came to pass. And in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now let's stop there for a moment. What happened? The angel came, and then all the angels came, and they're just, wow. They've been told that the Messiah has been born. The Savior, the promised Messiah that the Jews have been promised, He's been born. Wow, that's pretty good news. They told Him where He was going to be and how they'd notice Him. And they took off and they found Him. So they hear the news about Christ. Then they find the Lord. Then what do? We find it in verse number 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. You know what they did? They got busy and started telling others. When we meet the Lord, when we find out the truth about Jesus, hey, let's get busy and tell some other people about Him.
Yeah, it's exciting what He did for me.
That's how we get. We get ho-hum. Man, can you imagine? And you just study this. You study all the prophecies. We're going to look at a couple here. What God did. Oh, man, we ought to be so thrilled about getting out and telling people about the Lord. You know, during the parade in town, our church had a little Christmas float with a big birthday cake and a sign reading, "Happy Birthday, Jesus." Some of our members overheard some children in the crowd asking their parents, "Why do they have a birthday cake?" And then those parents told their kids because it's Jesus' birthday. You know, that may have been the first time those children have ever heard that it was Jesus' birthday. But what an opportunity to have a float down the road, and people say, hey, what's that? And have to be, not forced, but encouraged to think about Jesus and who he is. Yeah. And some kid saying, whoa, Jesus was born. That'd be interesting. Maybe I want to know more about that. Planting the seed. The shepherds have been given a heavenly message, and they wanted to share that good news with others. And if we found the Savior, we ought to be doing the same thing. You know, Christmas people are a lot more open to talk about Jesus, are they not? We can put tracks with our Christmas cards, get a good Christmas track. We've got those in the bookstore. We can send them to our family, to our friends. You can invite people to church, right? Get them out to the Christmas concert. Get them out for Christmas Eve, the service we're going to have there. All sorts of opportunities. You know, I talked about the guy who was sitting at the bench waiting for his wife with a loaded down gifts. Hey, give him a tract. Sit down, talk to him. Do something. The Lord might lead you to help someone that way. And I'll tell you, people are a lot more receptive to taking tracts. It's a great time of the year. It's a time, it is the season, not only to worship, it's the season to witness. And I hope and I encourage you to think about some people. I was even praying in my devotions today, and the Lord brought back to my mind a person that I've been praying for. I said, why don't you try with that guy one more? It's an old high school friend. I'm going to try to reach out and get the gospel to him another time here. And so the Lord may lead you to do that because it's a wonderful time. And I hope you'll respond like the shepherds did. And you find some other people and you tell them. Let's read that verse 17 again. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them. Let's make known what we know about Christ. Don't hide it. Don't hide it. That visitor who comes to this country and sees all these other things, wouldn't it be good if all they knew was all the prosperity, the shopping and all the partying, if someone actually told them what it was all about? You know, it's not necessarily visitors. There's kids growing up in our country who have no idea what Christmas is all about. They think it's about Santa Claus. Number three, so we see it's a season to worship. It's a season to witness. And I think lastly, I want to take a little bit of time here and talk about, it's a season to wonder. It's a season to wonder. We're in Luke chapter 2. We just read verse 17. Let's read verse 18. So they just got done telling people about Christ. In verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Those who heard the announcement that the Messiah was born, they wondered. The word wonder means, it does mean to think, but it also means to be filled with admiration, to be filled with amazement, to stand in awe. And here, these people who heard the story, the account that the Messiah, Christ, has been born, the ruler, the King of heaven came to earth. Whoa! This is exciting. And they're standing in awe and they're wondering. And I think there's a few things about Christmas that we ought to wonder about. In fact, Psalms 33 verse 8 tells us, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. In other words, wonder. Just be amazed at the Lord. You know, Christmas is an amazing time. When you think what happened, and I want you to think with me a little bit about some things that we ought to be amazed about at Christmas. And I'll give you a few of them. The first one is this. We ought to wonder about God's prophecies. I don't know how people can say they don't believe the Bible. It's probably because they've never studied it. I mean, you open the Bible and you see that God says something's going to happen, and then you see that it happened. Guess what? That's amazing to me. Because when God says something's going to happen, you can bank on it. Everything else he says in the Bible is going to happen because what he's already said was going to happen has happened. Then everything else that he's prophesied and predicted is going to happen. This book is true. This book is something we can live our life with and base our life on. And in the Old Testament, God promised the Jews that their Messiah was going to come and deliver them. And all the prophecies about his birth came true. Okay? How could anybody say they don't believe the Bible? Now, I want to consider a few of these predictions, these prophecies that came true at Jesus' birth. Not all of them, but a few of them. I want you to see the first one. And what I'll do is I'll read the Old Testament passage. And if you want to turn to the New Testament one, you can. You can turn here in this one to Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Again, we're going to be flip-flopping between Matthew and Luke here. But the first prophecy, and this is amazing, that he was born of a virgin.
Say, I know that.
And nobody else who's been born of a virgin? No, because it's never happened before, and it's never going to happen again, okay? And the prediction was in, okay, you're turning to Matthew 1, 22 and 23. Isaiah 7, verse 14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So, over 700 years before the event happened, God told us it was going to happen. And guess what? It happened. Now, I don't know why people get all bent out of shape about saying Merry Christmas. Why people don't want to hear about Jesus at Christmas time. And that might be the only time they'll listen, but it's a great time that we can say, hey, did you know that, you know he was born of a virgin, but did you know over 700 years before he was born, God told us it was going to happen that way? I mean, this is something to wonder about. It's just standing on and say, wow, Christmas. Man, we ought to just be thinking, wow, the Lord is so tremendous. Instead, we're like, man, give me the cookies, man. Give me the pie. And we get all excited about all of the frivolous things instead of what really counts in Christmas. We got to stand in awe of that. Here's another prophecy. I know you kind of probably already followed along there with Matthew. I'm not going to take the time to read it. Here's the other one. Still there, look in Matthew 1:23. Here's the prophecy and here's the fulfillment. We've already read the verses there. But we've seen, first of all, that he was born a virgin. The second one is that he was named Emmanuel. Now, Christ has many names. He is Jesus. He's Emmanuel. Okay, now here it says in chapter verse 23, it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. You know what? It's important that God is with us. And this verse proves and teaches that Jesus is God. He is the Messiah who left heaven and came to earth just like he said he was going to come to earth and do just what he said he was going to do. He said he was going to come, and the Bible says he was going to come and die. He was going to be pierced. The Lord was going to lay all of our sins upon him. Now, unfortunately, most of the Jews didn't. They weren't expecting a suffering Savior. They were expecting the Messiah to come and defeat the Roman government and set up shop. Now, he is going to reign, but that's later. He came first to suffer for us. And we thank God that he did. And the third prediction is that he would receive an eternal throne. In Luke 1:33, you can look there. I will read Micah, which is one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, Micah chapter 4, verse number 7, says, and I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast off a strange nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. So the Lord was going to reign forever. Now, the fulfillment's there in Luke 1:33. And he shall reign, talking about Christ, the Messiah, over the house of Jacob, how long? forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. In fact, that song is in the Messiah, that great production by Handel. Handel's Messiah that is played during the Christmas season. And where do they get that? They got that from the Bible. You see, God said he was going to be born a king and he was going to rule. And in the fourth prediction, we can see, you can look there back in Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 through 6 for this one. But in the fourth prediction that I want to share with you is that he would be born in Bethlehem. We find that in Micah 5:2. And we've already read that there in Matthew 2, 4, and 6. It says, the prediction was, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth for have been from of old, from everlasting." This showed that where he would be born, Bethlehem. And as I already mentioned, when the wise men came, they came to Herod, and Herod said, "I don't know, go find the Jews. Go find the chief priests, they'll tell you." And the chief priests knew exactly. They opened up the prophet and said, "Yeah, he's going to be born in Bethlehem." They had no heart, they had no concern, they had no desire, just like many people today in our world. "Hey, yeah, I know something about Christ, but I have no concern, no desire about knowing more about him." They had no desire to go down to Bethlehem and worship him, although they knew he was going to be born there. Because so many people in our country, they'll celebrate Christmas the way they want to, but they could care less about Jesus. How sad. And yet the Bible tells us how it's going to happen. It also mentions there that he was who he was. He was God. It says that he was from of old. He was from everlasting. Jesus is everlasting. He didn't start the day he was born. He came from heaven as God and took the form of a man. He was the God-man. And he lived a perfect life and he suffered for our sins so that he could pay for our sins. He was born to die. That was his purpose. He had a mission. He wasn't born just to stay a little baby so everyone could say, "Oh, how cute." No. He came to die for our sins and to become the king of the Jews. He wants to rule our lives. But most people don't want much about Jesus ruling over them. That brings us to the fifth prophecy. And you can look in Luke 1:32. You're in Matthew 2. You just look at that one. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. But the prediction was in Isaiah 9, verse 6. And this prediction was that he was going to come as ruler. He was going to come as ruler. And it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The Prince of Peace. This is a prophecy. Again, over 700 years before his birth. And in Matthew 2, verse 2, The wise men came, and what were they saying? "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" They were looking for the king. And in Luke 1:32 it says, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Oh yeah, he came as king, as ruler. And with all these and so many other prophecies being fulfilled, you know, we know that everything else in the Bible is going to come true too. And we need to let Christmas challenge us to believe the Bible more and to study it more and to let it change our lives. That's the wonder of Christmas. So that was a little bit longer one. Let me move on here to the next one. You can look in Luke chapter 2 for this next one. We should wonder about God's providence, how God works. You know, God works in mysterious ways. Sometimes we look at how he works and say, "That's a little bit strange. I don't understand it." But he's got a purpose in everything he does. And in Luke chapter number 2, we know what happened here. We just saw that Jesus was supposed to be born in Bethlehem. There was a problem, though. Mary and Joseph didn't live in Bethlehem. They lived in Nazareth. That's a problem. How's this prophecy going to come to pass? Well, it's really not a problem because God worked it out. What God did was he used the decree of a heathen king to get them to go to Bethlehem. He said, all right, everyone, there's going to be a tax. And you got to go down to the city of your fathers, forefathers, and you got to go down there and pay the tax. Well, this is a little bit of a problem for Mary and Joseph. We'll pick it up here in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And verse 3, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being what? Great with child. Now, they didn't take an airplane. Had they taken an airplane, they wouldn't have let her on the airplane. Right? When a lady is great with child, you ain't not getting on this plane. We're not having any deliveries here, okay? We might deliver the mail. We might deliver people, but we ain't delivering babies. You know? That's the bottom line here on the airlines, okay? I don't know. You always see the picture of her riding on a donkey. I don't know how she got there. But whether she was walking all that distance or she was riding on a donkey, that's a long, difficult road to go when you don't feel like going. And yet, that's what they had to do. You know what I see from this? That God used a very difficult circumstance to bring his will to pass. Let me say this. There might be some here today are traveling down a very difficult path in life. And I want you to remember, just like he had a purpose for Mary and Joseph to have to travel that way and go through the hard time and getting where they need to get. And when they got there, you know the story too. There was no room in the inn, was there? She had to give birth out there in the stable, and the baby had to be put in a little manger, a little crate where they would feed the animals. Not the most sanitary place to put your child. This was not a simple, easy time for Mary and Joseph. And yet God had a purpose in all of this. And my point is this. We need to understand and wonder at God's providence. We may be going through difficult times right now in our life. Heartaches, hardships, disappointments, financial problems, health problems, family problems. But I'll tell you one thing we can do. We can wonder at the providence of God and say, I don't understand what your plan is, but you've got a plan. And we can see that right here in the Christmas story. God's got a plan for every disappointment, every difficulty. And we can step back and say, wow, look at God. I like that. It's right there in the Christmas story. Now, we also can wonder about God's peace. In Luke chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. God gives peace. How's your heart this morning? Are you troubled? Are you worried? Filled with anxiety, maybe fear, discouragement? Man, just things aren't going right. Christ came to give us peace. We already read Isaiah 9:6, and it says that he is the Prince of Peace. You know what you need? We need to just get a little bit closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one who gives peace. He gives us peace with God. He can give us the peace of God, and that can rule in our hearts. Man, I'll tell you, sin brings sorrow, it brings turmoil to our hearts. But Christ, when we come to him, gives us forgiveness. And we can enjoy his peace. Then I think also we can not only wonder at his providence and his peace, we can wonder at his promise. What is his promise? Well, the Lord had predicted that Jesus would come to earth as a baby. Did he? Yes. He also said, he's going to come again. He's coming again. When he comes in the clouds, he'll take all the saved to heaven. If you're not saved, you'll miss out. You're going to be here on the earth. And on the earth, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. It is going to be the worst turmoil and trouble the world has ever seen. And you can sit there and make all the excuses why you don't want to get saved. You're going to wish you did. Because it's going to be a horrible time. At the end of those 7 years, Jesus is going to come back to earth again. He's going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And the Jews at that time are going to finally realize that Jesus is the Messiah. As he came once, he will come again. We know that. In fact, as Jesus ascended up into heaven, an angel said to his disciples, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." He said, he's coming back. My question is this: are you ready for his return? If not, it's time to make things right with the Lord. And what a wonderful season to do that. If you're not saved, it's time to get saved. It's time to seek the Lord and his forgiveness. Every Christian who is not ready is going to be ashamed at his coming, because they've been a little bit sidetracked with their life. Now, the last thing I want to say is we ought to wonder, just stand in awe and amazement. Yeah, we've already seen the prophecies being fulfilled. That ought to just like, whoa, the Bible's real. God's real. There might be someone out here and say, man, I didn't realize the Bible said all that. And, you know, I knew there was a God, but man, I didn't really spend too much time trying to get to know him. Oh, get to know him. You might sit there and say, well, I've been kind of a skeptic. I don't, you know, people talk about the Lord, but I've not really believed. But man, wow. What he said actually came to pass. He's got some more things to say. Whoa, I better get ready. He's coming again. That's not just a story. Christmas is not just a story. Christ is not just a fairy tale. He's real. And he's coming back. And the last thing I think we should wonder is at God's purpose. Have you ever wondered why Jesus would leave heaven and come to earth? The Bible gives us the answer. It's found in Matthew chapter number 1. If you're there in Matthew. Matthew chapter number 1, verse 21. Says, "And she," talking about Mary, "shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And by the way, the name Jesus means Savior, Deliverer. "For he shall save his people from their sins." There's a Christmas carol that describes this. It says, I wonder as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor, ornery people like you and like I wonder as I wander out under the sky. You see, mankind is lost, and we face the wrath of God for our rebellion against him and his law. And Jesus, as I said, he became a man. He left heaven. He came to face all the temptations that we would face, and he faced them perfectly and never sinned. He did all that, and then he died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, the Bible says in Isaiah 53 that the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of my sins and all of your sins, my friends, were put on Jesus, and he was punished for you. He's already been punished. So I deserve to be punished. Well, if you can admit that, that's a good step. But he's already taken it. There's no sense for you to have to take it also. The only thing we should do is receive the gift. Man, Christmas is about giving, isn't it? We do like getting gifts. I know it's more blessed to give than receive, but be honest, you like to get a gift. The Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's free. Free to you. Cost him everything. Cost him his life. But he's already paid for it. He'd like to give you that gift. All you need to do is reach out and take it. What a wonderful time of year to reach out and take the gift and wonder at the salvation. The purpose of his coming was to save you, to save me, to bring me forgiveness, to give me peace in my heart, to comfort me, and to guide me through life. What a wonderful Savior. Man, I like Christmas. because it's about Jesus. It's about what he did for me. He came to save you. And you can be saved from the penalty of sin, which is hell and the lake of fire. And you can also be saved from the power of sin. The Bible says there, he came to save his people from their sins. Maybe you're hooked on some sin. God can unhook you, amen? He came to save you from the power of that sin, from the penalty of that sin, from the presence of that sin. Eventually, you get to heaven, you won't even have to be around sin anymore. What a wonderful time. In 2011, Christmas was on a Sunday. We were on the mission field at that time in our church in Zambia. One of the visitors I met before church, his name was Emmanuel, of all names. And I said, there's another Emmanuel who has a birthday today. And he responded, me too. Come to find out that he was born on Christmas, and that's why his parents called him Emmanuel. And after the service, I saw him coming out of the counseling room, and I told him, and he told me that he had received Christ as his Savior. He was born again on his birthday. The very day he was born, December 25th, physically, many years later, he was in his 20s, he saw that he was a sinner on his way to hell, and he asked Jesus to save him from his sins. Not many people can say they have two birthdays on Christmas. But perhaps you're like Emmanuel here today, and you realize that you need Jesus also. You know, you can receive him as your Savior and have a changed life. Christmas is a season to wonder and just stand in awe that God would love us, that he would do so much, that everything he said, he did. And everything he said he's going to do, he's going to do. And we need to spend some time and think about who God is and what he wants to do in our lives. And if you're a Christian here, don't get caught up with all the frivolous activities. Yeah, you can eat a few extra calories, but don't forget to worship. Amen. To witness, and to wonder. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Nobody looking around, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I have a question. Have you seen that Jesus came to save you from your sin? He loves you. He left heaven to die for you. And one day he's coming again. And he wants to bring you to heaven. If you realize that and you realize that you're not saved, you're lost, you've got sin, you've never trusted him as your Savior, you realize how much love he has for you, and you realize the Bible's true and that he's coming again, and you don't want to miss that. I got another question then. Are you ready to receive him as your Savior? Would you receive him today? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe God has spoken to someone. You say, Brother Olson, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I need Christ in my life. Wow, he loves me and he's done all that. I would like to receive him as my Savior. If you'd like to be saved today, I'll tell you, we've got some people who are trained in the Scriptures. They can open the Scriptures and show you how to trust Christ as your Savior. We'd like to help you with that. Is there anybody like that? You say, Brother Olson, I would like to be saved. I'd like to receive Jesus as my Savior and get forgiveness of sins, a changed life, so that I can go to heaven when I die. Is there anyone like that? Would you slip up your hand so I can see? I'll pray for you. My prayer won't save you, but I'd like to pray for you. Okay, thank you. Are there others? Anyone else? Say, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to know. I'd like to know more about Jesus. Anyone else? Okay, thank you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. In just a moment, the music's going to play, and when it does, we have an invitation. It's a time where people slip out of their seats. Some come down here to pray. And if you're not saved, I suggest and I ask that you come down, talk to one of these men. They'll get someone and show you from the Bible privately how you can be saved and how you can go to heaven. Let me also address those who are saved. Christmas is about worshiping. Are you going to give them your treasure, your time, your talent this season, or are you going to get sidetracked? It's about witnessing. Let's get busy and tell some people. Maybe you know someone. Maybe like me, an old friend that you got to try one more time to reach. So it's time to wonder and stand in awe of what God's done. Maybe you're traveling on that difficult road in life like Mary and Joseph was. Remember, God's got a plan for your trouble and trust Him through it. He's just never let you down. He never will. And this is a season we can glorify God, not just live for pleasure. I hope you'll make the right decision today that'll help you live the next 3 weeks properly and enjoy the time of year. Father, we pray that you'll bless the invitation. Lord, there's a couple that have raised their hand and maybe some others who are not sure of their salvation. I pray that you give them the courage to slip out of their seat, to come down here in the front. People have their eyes closed, their heads bowed, and Lord, they'll be able to talk to one of these men and get some help. Lord, they can find out how to have their sins forgiven, how to have Jesus as their Savior. Please, Lord, bless on our invitation and help your people who've been a little sidetracked and a little diverted, Lord, from the true meaning. Help us to make sure we take some time and worship and witness and wonder at who you are. I ask this in Jesus' name. We'll stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. There's nobody looking. Music begins to play. When the music begins to play, you come and talk to the Lord. Pray if you need to. If you raise your hand, you say, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to know more about salvation. Would you slip out of your seat? Come forward. We'll have one of these men help you with the Bible and show you from the Bible how you can go to heaven.